Hello, and welcome to this micro-episode of the Subbeacon, sponsored by DoorDash. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve on demand from your favorite restaurant. Restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your Dasher will bring it right to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code SUBBEACON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code SUBBEACON, SUBBEACON. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Matt Continetti. Just a quick reminder that full episodes of the Subbeacon are available every Thursday at 11 a.m. As many of our listeners know, our co-host Jonathan Last has never watched Game of Thrones.
Or TV.
TV.
I don't know that he owns a TV.
He might use the memes, but he actually has never seen the series. But I watched it. Sonny watched it. And of course our guest host Matt watched it too. Not watch, but watched past tense, because last night, as we all know, was the final episode of Game of Thrones. Matt, were you happy with this ending? Because it seems nobody is.
Well, first I'd like to say hello, Vic, because hello. I don't think we've ever been on the Subbeacon together before. Because
Matt fills in.
I fill in for you.
Wow.
The only two...
Well, this is crossover event.
The only two main... Of course, it's not the main episode.
Oh, right.
You know, this is an Avengers film about a new character. And then the big Avengers films are the Thursday episodes.
You're the Captain Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like I'm working up.
Well, yeah, well, and we've done other series together. We've done other podcasts together.
We have. They're all canceled now. So thank you for having me on your program.
Our pleasure.
I was satisfied with the ending. Of course, being a cisgendered white male.
Oh, boy.
It was everything I could have hoped for.
Did you see yourself as Bran?
The whole time.
In that wheelchair?
I've always felt, and
I've... You've always identified with Bran.
You felt as much of a man as Bran, too? Did you feel as much of a man?
Ever since Bran got thrown out of that tower.
He's always been one of my favorite characters. And I believe I made a point on another of these podcasts.
Oh, yes, yes.
And during the Long Night episode, and there was that, we were kept asking, why is Bran so important? What is Bran doing? Why do we care about Bran? Mm-hmm. Well, they did answer that in this episode, the Iron Throne, because he turns out that he's the king.
Can we just acknowledge briefly that the showrunners have not done a very good job with the whole three-eyed raven concept? Because I was sitting there thinking, okay, fine, Bran, whatever. This is as good as anything else. Well, except for the fact that he's immortal, right? Isn't that...
Well, like, I think you're immortal if you become the tree.
So he has
and
to become
he didn't
the
become
tree...
The Night King kind of screwed up that concept.
So you can
when they found him.
You're only immortal as the three-eyed raven if you fuse with the tree.
You have to live
knowledge.
In the tree like Max von Sydow.
You have to live in the tree like Max.
Right, and of course, because Max von Sydow, he's still alive. So there
well,
might
maybe
be,
he,
maybe
no.
you are. Maybe you do become
maybe
immortal.
Maybe that's the last. Right, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. The greatest trick Bran ever pulled was making people think that he won't be king forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe this immortality thing. There, wow. He is the last king of the six kingdoms.
Okay. The six kingdoms.
I have a few observations about the show.
Please.
That's okay.
Please. We have two hours.
Yeah, we don't.
Well, no.
We do not.
Quick
we have a
points.
Hard cap.
Really quick points just to get the discussion going. The first is fans are terrible.
Terrible.
I hate fans. And also Twitter is terrible. Mm, and when you combine fans and Twitter... It just makes me want to vomit.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Terrible. It's a storm.
The second thing is, I do think that.
Wait, could you just explain why you think the fans are terrible? Like, what annoys you about
the fans?
The fans
are never satisfied. The fans are so revealing of our self-obsessed, narcissistic, me age, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's a Game of Thrones or whether it's Star Wars or whether it's the MCU, everyone seems to think, oh, I would have done it differently, or, oh, that's not what I like, or where am I on that screen? Where is Matt Continetti on that screen?
Where's your representative?
When have I ever been represented on the screen, Sonny? Where am I? So it, and then you have to
I was Edmure Tully. That was me. I have something to offer to this council.
Look, to that point, I thought that scene was it was funny. Great. It was a great scene. It had everything. I mean,
I actually people are complaining about that final council scene, and I will say that I found all of the comedic beats perfect. My one big complaint. Yeah. I'm probably stepping on something. My one big complaint is the idea that they would let the North go, and then the Iron Islands, Yara Greyjoy, wouldn't be like, "I'm out too."
I agree. I thought Yara's motivations weren't necessarily all that clear in that scene. So my second point, though, okay, let's stipulate fans are terrible. Second point is, and I keep referring to this essay that Matt Zoller Seitz wrote. A few weeks back when The Long Night came out, which is the trouble with content. And the point of this essay that he wrote, which I recommend to everybody online, is that we used to have film that you experienced in the theater, then you had television, which was on that small box in your living room that you watched once a week. Now it's these two mediums have merged into something that we just call content. And so we have Avengers films, which are huge cinematic spectacles, but also kind of like TV in that it's a running narrative with different characters that you follow. And we also have something like Game of Thrones, which for the last 8 years was more or less, especially in the last 5 years or so, more or less a summer blockbuster on your television, especially these huge TVs with ultra high definition that we have now. So the trouble with content is you need a lot of money for it. And the economics of Game of Thrones, I think, started to hurt in the final season. We all know about the gaffes, right, with the water bottles or the Starbucks cups, which suggests that they were kind of rushing, that they weren't really...
Definitely.
There was also some of the special effects. But more importantly, the fact that you had to collapse the ending of the show into these six episodes is disappointing, because it's clear you could have made at least another season. Mm-hmm. Maybe even one after that to just get through. You know, if you go back, you want a real nerd reference? Babylon 5. Okay. Very similar.
Wow.
They fight the shadows, defeat the shadows.
Nobody has any idea what
you're talking
about right now.
These people listening, they defeat the shadows, and then they still have a season and a half where they go with. And they have to face Earth.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying Babylon 5 did it better?
Yes. Oh, totally. And so, but Weiss and Benioff couldn't do it any better because they're constrained.
Well, there's some dispute over this. My understanding is that Benioff and Weiss wanted out. They are the ones who wanted to end the show after six
episodes.
That's
interesting.
It wasn't that HBO was afraid of spending money on it.
Well,
they wanted them to do more.
They want to go make their dumb Star Wars movies.
That's a terrible decision.
It really is. This has been my complaint about this whole last season. It's not any of the outcomes. I think all of the outcomes are basically fine. And it has nothing to do with the way the characters were treated or even character arcs or anything like that. My complaint is that everything felt too compressed.
Definitely.
So look, you spend two episodes getting everyone to Winterfell, and then after that, it's just a sprint to King's Landing to
finish.
That just feels like it unbalanced everything. I could have used a whole nother episode of Dany just traveling south on the King's Road. Trying to, you know, win the alliances with people and realizing more and more that she will never be loved, that she can only rule by fear. Mm-hmm. And then that last scene would have made a little bit more, or the last scene on the dragon where she's burning down King's Landing would have made
a lot more sense.
A lot more sense. It would have been more effective. But, you know, these are, I think, modest quibbles with a show that I feel like more or less pulled it off.
Totally.
I liked the ending. It's not perfect.
Doing something as absurd as putting Bran on whatever the Iron Throne replacement is, and
making it
a
regular throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like a wood throne. He has a mobile throne.
But
yeah,
remember, the dragon smelted the throne because the dragon knew that the next king won't need it and won't need to sit on it because he's got his own throne. That he
maybe the dragon
wheels.
Knew that. We don't know.
It has a throne with wheels.
Do you think that was
wheels.
Bran taking over the dragon?
I thought that was a great touch, though. And no one is going to sit on that throne.
No, that's it.
At the end of the day, we spent 8 years wondering who's going to sit on the throne at the end. No one.
And as you know, so many people, obviously, we were just talking about this, Matt, who are upset about, you know, how it ended, and it's not their ending. It's funny for me and for my wife, we were, you know, we're not as emotionally vested because we had to catch up on Game of Thrones.
You were a binger.
We binged. So one summer... I think 2 summers ago, we got up through seasons 1 through 6 in one summer. So, you know, these emotional reunions back and forth. I'm like, oh, yeah, they were there last week.
That's not because you binged. That's because you and your wife are normal people.
It's fair.
And you don't have... The fact that you have nothing else in your life... The fans have nothing else
right,
in their lives.
Right.
And so they create this emotional attachment to a piece of intellectual property... That is mm-hmm. made and mm-hmm. by people mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. far greater mm-hmm. skill and talent than them, and so yep. inevitably this weird dialectic where you know you both love it and yet you resent the fact that you're not a part of it. It expresses itself in this. Well, this is just so disappointing. And then of course there's the identity politics
right.
critique, which is related but somewhat
right.
separate. Which
right.
is, oh my God, it ends up being a cisgendered white male sitting on the throne, and John kills Danny, and Sansa, you know, she's confined to her kingdom in the north.
The reaction of some of the, shall we say, more people who are interested in social justice
right.
to this reminds me very, very much of the reaction some of the, shall we say, alt-right fans had to the newest Star Wars.
Right. Yes. Very good report.
It is flip sides of the same coin here. These products have not completed the headcanon, the like ideological identity politics headcanon of the folks who are watching, and so they get angry about mm-hmm. it. And it is entirely based on how they see themselves in these roles. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to me.
Did you know that Jon Snow was going to stick it? You knew it was going to happen.
Pretty clear. He comes in with 2 swords. He has his main sword, Wolfsbane, right? Is that his name of his sword?
Wolfsbane.
Yeah. Wolfsbane.
Yeah. And then
but on his right side, to our left on the screen, was a second sword mm. that was apparent in the medium shot when he enters. And so I kind of said to myself, going to kill her. So yeah, I thought they did a good job of foreshadowing that. Though the portrayal, the acting was
good.
It did leave you hanging for a second. Where it was like, oh, wow, maybe he is going to pledge his loyalty. But no, it worked out.
I thought it was just a really intense kiss that she was reacting to.
It was the best scene those two have ever had together, because I've never bought their relationship.
No, she's not the best actress, but I actually think she came alive in the last couple episodes.
That was her shining moment.
Yeah, and even the speech she gave mm-hmm. to
What did you think about that speech?
To the Unsullied and to the Dothraki.
Yeah. What do you think about the speech itself?
You mean, does it conform with my political views?
Yeah, I really want to know about that.
No, I think it showed the dangers of a missionary foreign policy, of mm-hmm. a Wilsonian idealism. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, and there is something to be said for restraint. I didn't have a problem with it. But maybe that's more about my own intellectual journey over the past couple of years.
I was amused by Sam Tarly's suggestion of a democratic process.
It was hilarious.
And I'm like, please don't tell me that's how it ends, you know? And of course they all
start laughing.
It. Yeah. My dog wants to vote. So I thought that was pretty good.
But you know, Sam has always been ahead of his time. Is the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, or he's foolish.
So, you know, fast forward 1,000 more years, mm-hmm. and maybe they'll have democracy.
Where does Arya go on a new show?
Into her new show.
She discovers the Northwest Passage.
She's going to the east. Or she's...
West.
She's going west.
West of Westeros, off the map.
She's going to America.
The world is round, so...
No, she just... Yes. I really was hoping for a post-credit scene where she just, like, falls off the... like, the world of Westeros is actually a square, and she falls off the edge. Like,
Yeah. Right. No, but that's it. So maybe they don't understand that the world is round, because there's Essos, which is supposed to be basically mm-hmm. the old world, mm-hmm. and Westeros is more or less the mm-hmm. Western Hemisphere. But So I always thought that in the books it's referred to as Ashai, or the lands in the east, and that's supposedly where Melisandre learned her magic. So I'd imagine, and they don't know anything about it. So I'd imagine in this spinoff, if it happens, because it hasn't been greenlit, as far as I know, the only spinoff is actually a prequel, right? That's in production anyway.
That's right.
But if the spinoff happens, I assume she'd be going into much more kind of magical world.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other thoughts, Sonny?
No. I mean, the thing about this season is that it has been incredibly divisive.
Yeah.
For reasons that are generally dumb and not related to the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one big mistake, as we've said, is that it was not long enough. Could have used at least one, maybe two more episodes.
Yeah.
And I do think that the actual filmmaking of the Battle of Winterfell, The Long Night, that episode was terrible.
It was.
With some exceptions. I mean, the like kind of zombie house stuff with Arya running through
that
the
table.
Great. All that was really well done, but the actual giant battle themselves that they spent
disappointing
that they spent Rushed. You know 800 nights filming in 10 degree weather for you know what was bad. It didn't look good. It especially compared to everything else we've seen this season. I mean the assault on King's Landing was fantastic. All of the rest of the actual big action sequences were really well done. That was just that. With anything like this, an ending is going to feel kind of pat because you could keep going forever, right? Like you could, do we really think that the rest of the Six Kingdoms are going to just be like, okay, cool, this crippled child is going to be our
Dorne
king.
Or wherever.
Now you have Bronn on the High Council I kind of puzzled over that decision by Tyrion. It was like, you know, Bronn is a troublemaker.
Well, I also didn't quite understand his role. So he's master of the purse.
Yeah, he's the financial.
But how does he have all this money? Is it just
he received all of that, and of course Highgarden, right? I mean, that was part
of that was the deal that
Tyrion
made.
He's loaded.
He gets Highgarden, but like I
also think
the finances of this whole world make no sense.
Right, but I also think, you know, Tyrion wanted him in the cabinet, and he's a clever guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's a person that you'd want there. But of course, he's also kind of a malcontent and who is easily bought. So I don't know if you'd want him in that position.
But it's also good to keep him close, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies close. And it's good to keep an eye on what Bronn is doing because he's very crafty. I like the ending as it pans out. It kind of reminded me of like the last scene in The Sopranos with the last time you see Polly. And sort of business as usual, this will continue going on. And as you see there, they're sitting around
what
this table.
What happened to Polly?
He just kept on going. I mean, you know, that was the
was
end
it,
of...
Was he sitting outside Satriales?
Yeah, he was sitting outside Satriales, and that was the end. And just like...
That's not the end of the episode. But
yeah,
it happened
That's the last time you see him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he gets promoted.
You're talking about the pullout from the Little Council.
Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right.
But I didn't... I mean, I like that scene. You know, the Sopranos is alive in your brain in a way that it is not in mine. But one final point about the show. There was a lot of talk over the weekend about the ratings. You know, and I saw in Brian Stelter's media email, there's estimated 18 million people saw it. Well, that's so pathetic. I mean,
it's
if you
MASH.
Talk about a shared cultural experience, we just do not have anything like that anymore. The
Never
closest
again.
Is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, a big political event, but 18 million people. Yeah. Yeah, it's great for HBO, but
it's more than the Sopranos.
But it is totally disproportionate to the type of unifying cultural experiences that we had in a time when there were just, you know, three television networks plus PBS, you know.
And it just a clarification, the ending of the episode last night.
Right.
So he's not leading, he's not an escort for the Wildlings. He's become one. He has joined the caravan.
I think that is what's implied.
He's Audi 5000. He's like, I'm
done always,
he's joined
he's
the caravan. He's joined the caravan.
He's always been a... You know, a wild folk, free folk, a member of the North, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically turning into Mance
Rayder.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. Okay, thank you. We have a special treat, by the way, on this episode, which is a thank you to our friends at Hunter PR and Diageo, which is the White Walker by Johnny Walker. These are single malts from Cardhu and Clanelish, one of Scotland's most northern distilleries. White Walker. is best served directly from the freezer and features pack technology that reveals an icy design when chilled. What is the message, Sonny?
Well, we can't tell people. They need to freeze the bottle and find out for themselves.
Also, it's already fading away in the 25 minutes it's been out.
It lasted longer than the actual White Walkers, though. So that's good. That's good.
I am kind of curious. Do you think, do you guys wonder if the people who signed this PR deal for like White Walker, Johnny Walker, were a little bit freaked out when the White Walkers got taken out
in the third
episode of the season?
I would have been, because I'm pretty sure they didn't tell them. HBO didn't say, okay, well, here's where they end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The whole thing is about the White Walker. But here, did you have a sip?
Yeah, that's how we go.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
At 9:23 in the morning.
I mean, look, we're having a very, very small sip here. We're not Matthew is not participating, and
he's responsible.
It would be the end of my day.
He is in fact judging us.
It's actually,
I think.
I'm not judging at all. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It's quite tasty. You sure you don't want one for the road?
I really can't, because that would be the end.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine.
It'd be the long night of Matt Continetti if we started now at 9:23.